Well, all right, our Challenge Ministries radio congregation, let's get our Bibles. Open them to Revelation chapter 1. That's where we'll be going in a few moments. I've entitled this, Believers, Kings, and Priests. You need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, not only in the future, but in the nasty here and now. Not only in the blissful, wonderful, glorious future, but in the nasty here and now, you need to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to understand what is available to you, what you have access to. Do you realize, as a child of God, as one born again, you have direct access to the throne of God? You have direct access to the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Do you realize that you, as an individual believer, regardless of your educational background, your economic status, the color of your skin, whatever may be going on with you, do you understand that you as a child of God have access to the throne of God? That you can go on behalf of this nation. You can go to the throne of God on behalf of this nation, the church in this nation, the nations of the world, the church in the nations of the world, as well as for your own needs, the needs of your family. Whatever your family needs may be, you can take them to the throne of God. Why? Because you have access. We have been made believer, kings, and priests. I'm going to be proving that to you in a few moments and when we go to the book of Revelation. But I want you to understand this. You as a believer priest, understand that. You have access to the throne of God. You have access into the very presence of God. And there are those of you today who need prayer. And you need prayer in different areas of your life. Some of you need prayer in your marriage. Some in your finances. Some in your body, your health. Whatever the need may be, you have access to the throne of God. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to play a song. And then we're going to go before the throne of God together, collectively, corporately, on behalf of you, your needs, your burdens, and your problems. Let's listen to the song first, prepare our hearts to pray, then we'll get together and pray, shall we? Here's the song.
You send
Heavenly Father, Father God, I come before your throne and as an individual, and we come before your throne collectively and corporately as the people of God. And Father, we come before your throne today because we know that there are those who need your touch. Father, there are those who need your touch physically. Some need your touch emotionally. There are those who need your touch spiritually. You've got some people who are struggling, Father. You've got some who are floundering. You've got some trying to make decisions. Father, some have to make some life-changing decisions. Some have to make some decisions concerning their physical health, a medical protocol. Then there are financial concerns, Father, as well as physical concerns. There are financial concerns. And then there are family concerns, Father. We have parents who are stressed and distressed over their children. And we have, Father God, wives who are concerned about their husbands, husbands who are concerned about their wives. But Father, you know the problem in each and every individual. You know what they're facing. You know the problem in each and every home, in each and every relationship. And Father, our problem is that we simply, for the most part, have not believed you. We have not believed that you are the source. You are the solution to everything in life that we are facing. I have lived so much of it, Father. I have lived so much of it. And I can give testimony to this radio congregation that you're faithful. You're faithful. You've been faithful to me. You were faithful to me when I was running from you, as you have been faithful to many of these who have run from you. But you're faithful. So, Father, we come before your throne on behalf of each and every individual involved in this time together on the radio. And we ask you to touch lives. We ask you to bring healing. We ask you to touch, Father God, every part of their being, spirit, soul, and body. And Father, for those who are having to make some fairly drastic decisions, we pray for your leadership, your guidance, your direction. We've all been there, Lord. And you understand, Father. You understood before the foundation of the world that we were going to face this moment in our life. And so now we ask you for your assistance, your insight, your wisdom for each of these individuals. And then, Father, we lift up the kingdom of God in this nation. It's suffering, Father. The kingdom of God in this nation is suffering as the kingdom of God is suffering in every nation. But we've read the last chapter, and we know what happens. We know who wins, and we know that you're on your throne. But, Father, from everything I can understand, you permit what your bride permits. You love your bride. You went to the cross for your bride. You surrendered your life on the cross for the bride. You love your bride. And the church, those who have been born again, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. Father God, these are your people in the kingdom of God. They are believer priests. They are ambassadors for Christ. They are soldiers of the cross. And Father, I'm asking you today, we collectively ask you to move throughout the body of Christ, wherever it may be located. And we ask you, Father, regardless of the label they wear, if they've been born again, that you would move, Father God, in the nations of the world, advancing the kingdom of God in the nations of the world. And then, Father, in this nation, my Lord and my God, I'm asking you for a move of your Holy Spirit in this nation. I'm asking you, Father God, to neutralize the spirit of Antichrist in this nation and the nations of the world for the moment. I realize what the end times look like. I see it in your word. But, Father, you've turned all of your work over to the church. We are the bride of Christ. We are the ambassadors for Christ. And you've turned all of your work over to the church. And you will allow the church to conduct the affairs of the nations until she no longer does so. then you will have to intervene. So, Father God, I am asking you in the holy and precious name of Jesus, stir the hearts of your people in this nation to intercessory prayer, to repentance on behalf of the nation for what we have become, what we have embraced. And then, Father God, we ask you for a move of your Holy Spirit, Father God, neutralizing the strongholds that Satan has introduced into our nation, even into the religious organizations as well as to the church. So, Father, there we are. That's our prayer for today. We're asking you to please give us kind consideration, understanding, and if you will, hear and answer the prayer to the end that you are glorified and the kingdom of God increased. And this we ask in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen and amen. In Revelation chapter 1, the Apostle John had been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled there by the Roman Emperor Domitian. He was exiled there for preaching the gospel. You see, understand that history repeats itself. There are nations right now where men are suffering because they preach the gospel. Some are suffering because they have preached the gospel, and some are suffering because they are preaching the gospel. And you have to understand that the kingdom of God is not always welcome in every nation. The leadership in every nation does not always welcome the declaration of the kingdom of God. And that's where John was. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos for having preached the gospel. And in his refusal to worship the Roman emperor as a god, he wouldn't do it. He had known the God of his soul, the God of his life. He knew the Messiah. He walked with the Messiah. He worked with the Messiah. He worked for the Messiah. He ate bread with the Messiah. He drank water with the Messiah. He traveled with the Messiah. And he saw the Messiah crucified. He saw the Messiah crucified. He was aware they took him down from the cross and they put him in a tomb. He also was aware that he had resurrected from the dead. He had seen him in his resurrection body. John knew what he was talking about. His was not just a once-in-a-while type of belief. His wasn't once-a-week type of belief. His was a day-by-day, instant-by-instant, moment-by-moment, absolute conviction of the reality of Jesus Christ, who he was, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, that he had been crucified for the sins of those who would believe and receive. He had been buried, entombed, and had resurrected from the dead. And it was because he knew that, that he refused to worship the Roman emperor as a god. Absolutely refused, and that cost him. Folks, it's going to cost you from time to time when you refuse to submit and surrender to the demands of the world. It's going to cost you from time to time when you refuse to compromise your position in Christ, compromise your testimony, compromise your walk with God. It's going to cost you. Some of you, it already has cost you. For some of you, it cost you your job. It's going to cost you. But you have to go into the battle understanding, yes, I'm probably going to be wounded. Yes, I'm probably going to have an attack day after day after day coming against me. But I will stand firm on the word of God. I will stay in submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in my life. And regardless of what corporate America brings against me, regardless of what my neighborhood brings against me, regardless of anything that goes on against me, I will remain faithful, true to the Word of God and to the Son of God. So here he is on the Isle of Patmos because of his faith in Christ Jesus. Understand this, though. He was there because God revealed both his pleasure and his displeasure with the church. God had revealed his pleasure and his displeasure with the church. His pleasure in the church, his displeasure with a compromising church. The compromising church in that day found the displeasure of God, as does the compromising church of this day. The compromising church of this day, that element of the church that is compromising with the world, compromising with Satan, is, if you will, suffering the displeasure of God. He's not pleased with it. There was, at that time, in this time, that displeasure of God that was revealed against the church. I wonder, do we see the hand of God in John's being exiled to Patmos? You see, you're not promised a cakewalk as a child of God. You're not promised a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. I keep telling you that. How many years have I been saying that your walk with God is not a cakewalk? But do we see the hand of God in John being exiled to Patmos? Because it is there he's going to receive the revelation. It is there that he is going to seek the revelation. He's going to see the revelation. It's going to be revealed to him. He's going to record it. So you have to understand that God in his sovereignty moves the bits and the pieces of humanity around to suit himself. He moves the bits and pieces in your personal individual life around to suit his purposes. We're all in the process. Those of us who've been born again, we're all in the process, and it is a process of being conformed to the likeness of Christ Jesus. And in the process of being conformed, there's some discouragement. There's some disappointment. There's opposition. There's failure. There's all manner of emotions, all manner of reactions, all manner of responses involved in our being sanctified, becoming more and more increasingly Christ-like. How many times have we found the hand of God in some of the most unpleasant circumstances in our life? You have, and you will. Make no mistake about it. You have in the past, you will in the future until you get to glory. You're going to find some unpleasant circumstances in your life. So now we come to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants, things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. The revelation of the end times as revealed by Christ Jesus to the apostle John, exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Folks, we're talking about eschatology. We're talking about the end times. And I think so much of the church tries to ignore the reality of the end times, what the Word of God, the prophetic Word of God says is going to occur up to leading into the end times, what's going to occur during the end times. And frankly, I don't know how far I will be going in the book of the Revelation, but I felt impressed to go here today, and I'm here. And going beyond this, I don't know. I've said to the Lord, I don't know how far you want me to go with this. I don't know. Do you want me just to go to the seven letters to the seven churches? Or do you want me to continue beyond that? I don't know. But I want you to know this. The Word of God teaches us, understand this, John was suffering. Why? Because of his testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, there is wave after wave after wave of suffering coming to the church. Wave after wave after wave. Some stronger than others, but they're coming. They have for centuries swept over God's people. They swept over the early church, but they didn't consume it. They couldn't stop it. And it will not stop it in this day. It will not stop it in the end times. The true church, the blood-bought, blood-washed body of Christ will continue. Now, those who claim Christ do not necessarily know Christ. And they are the ones who will capitulate. They will give up and give in. So he has been exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And it was there that he received the prophetic word of God. Consigned to the Isle of Patmos, placed there as punishment. But he got the prophetic word of God from God himself. And he delivered that word to us. Now, folks, I'm going into this understanding. There's all kinds of twists and turns. I've been at this for a few years. I've been at this for several years. And I realize there's all kinds of twists and turns in teaching prophecy. I'm just simply going to take the Word of God I'm going to explain it to you the best I can, line upon line, verse after verse, precept upon precept, as far as the Holy Spirit had me go in the book of Revelation. And you can take it before the Lord, and you can research it for yourself, and you can see whether or not you agree with me, yes or no. That's entirely between you and the Spirit of God. But I've got this assignment. I feel like the Lord has laid this on me. Now, as I said, I don't know how far we're going to go in this, but I'm going now as far as he sends me. And when he tells me to stop, I'll stop. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 2, let's go back to 1:1 after all that word from the preacher here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who, Revelation 1:2, bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ to all things which he saw. John records what he saw in prophetic vision. That had to be a marvelous, wonderful time in his life, receiving a prophetic vision concerning the end times, those times that will cover the earth, the governments and the government of the Antichrist, everything that was going to transpire on planet earth before the return of Jesus Christ, the prophetic vision. And so John is simply recording what he saw in that prophetic vision. Verse 3 of Revelation 1. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear these words of the prophecy and keep them, keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. When you stop and look at that verse, the time is near. How long is eternity? How long has eternity past existed? How long will eternity future exist? But he is saying to us, blessed are those who read, who comprehend, and retain this word of prophecy. Read it, comprehend it. You say, Bob, I have trouble understanding it. That is why you spend time in the Word in prayer. You go before the throne of God, and you remind Him it's His Word, that you're a servant, you're a child of His. If you've been born again, you want to better understand the Word. And you wait quietly before the Holy Spirit. Now, He has anointed some to help you better understand. He has anointed those within the kingdom of God to help you better understand the Word of God. And that's why we have people in the pulpits. But not every pulpit is filled by an individual sent by God. I realize that sounds harsh, but it's reality. It's reality. And you get into the Word of God and you find that's true. But we're coming into this together. I am simply trying to understand it better myself and help you better understand it, what we're facing. Because I'm telling you, listen to me, you are in a world of change. Right now, you are living in a world of change. You are living in a nation of change. You're seeing moves in this nation and the nations of the world that have already been prophesied in the Word of God. The church has a duty under God. Hear me and hear me well. The church has a duty under God to stand in the hedge and make up the gap and to pray against the advent, if you will, the continuing process and access of the kingdom of darkness into the nations of the world. Yes, we, the believer priest, those of us who are ambassadors for Christ, soldiers of the cross, we have a duty under God to stand in the hedge and make up the gap and to pray for the advancement of the kingdom of God in the nations of the world, not just this nation, because I'm telling you, there's a worldwide movement, satanic movement, trying and working and has been for years and is continuing in this day to bring about that one world order over which Satan can eventually raise up that individual that he will inhabit, who will be in control of that one world order. And you, some of you have children. Some of you have grandchildren. Some of you have great-grandchildren. You should be concerned about the world you're going to leave for them. You should be concerned about the world you're going to leave for them to face. And you who know Christ, those of you who've been born again, you know the Word of God. You know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been adopted in the family of God. You have access to the throne of God. You need to be before the throne of God day after day after day, binding the power of Satan, asking God for a time of relief in the onslaught of Satan in the nations of the world, asking God to raise up in this hour, this day, in the life of this nation and the nations of the world, those with a spirit like unto Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, John the Baptist, the prophetic word of God, those who can declare the prophetic word of God and not doing it for a dollar, not doing it for a dollar, not doing it to exploit anybody, just simply obeying the word of God and teaching the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept. Join me in praying for an army of those individuals. He has them. God has them, but so many of them have not stepped forward, have not come forth, and will not come forth because they are intimidated. They're intimidated. And this is no time for intimidated believer priest. This is no time for intimidated believer priest. If ever there was a time when the believer priest need to step forward and know who they are in Christ Jesus, be who they are in Christ Jesus, and approach the throne of God in intercessory prayer based on who they are in Christ Jesus, adopted into the family of God, access to the throne of God, to go before the throne of God in intercessory prayer on behalf of this nation and the nations of the world for the kingdom of God. Once again, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. Blessed are those who read. You get a blessing just for reading prophecy. Do you understand the Word of God? The Word of God says you get a blessing just for reading prophetic Word of God, comprehending, but you need to go before the throne of God saying, this is difficult, Father. Give me understanding. Give me illumination. Give me enlightenment. Introduce into my life those who can help me understand this. He has them. He has those who are anointed. Now understand this. There's all manner of different interpretive schemes out there. Let's just take it line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God just as it is written. Shall we? In Revelation 1:4, John, this is the Apostle John. John to the seven churches. The original seven churches we're talking to here. Now this applies, the truth that's applied to these seven churches apply to the church and every expression of the church. And once again, I keep emphasizing this, not every religious organization, not every religious institution is part of the church. No, once again, and you may get tired of hearing this, but that's okay because I'm going to keep saying it till you get it. The church is made up of the blood-bought, blood-washed people of God who have been born again, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, who've been indwelt by the Spirit of God. They're ambassadors for Christ, they're believer priests, and they have access to the throne of God. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is. He is. He always has been. Watch, he goes on. Peace from him who is and who was. He always has been. There has never been a time when God didn't exist. There has never been a time when God did not exist. He existed. Are you ready for this? Have you got ears to hear this? Listen to me carefully. He is and he was before anything else was. Did you get it? He is. He always has been. He was. He was before anything else was because he existed before he created anything. And how long has he been creating? I have no idea. Nor do you. Nor does anyone else. We have no idea how long he has been creating what he has been creating. How much did he create it? I mean, the cosmos. When you stop and think about the cosmos, endless, endless cosmos. And how much of his creation is evident in the cosmos? We're talking about Jehovah God. We're talking about Almighty God. We're talking about the supreme God of this universe. We're talking about he who knows no weakness. He knows no weakness at all. Full of wisdom, full of love. God is, and he is all that he is. John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was, who always has been, and who is to come. Who is to come? He's going to come back to planet Earth, folks. He came initially in a bodily form, called himself Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, demonstrated time after time after time the supernatural power of God. He demonstrated he was God in the flesh by supernatural acts, the last one perhaps being raising himself from the dead. He controls life. He's the source of life. He's the source of every expression of life. Whatever that expression of life may look like, whatever form that expression of life might take, he is the author of that life. He is the originator of life. He is life, life within himself. So he's writing once again now, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Seven churches, representing, if you will, the church, the body of Christ on earth today. He's using these seven churches. He's speaking to those seven churches, and he's speaking to what he finds unfavorable in them. He's speaking to what he finds favorable in them. He's giving his estimation, his evaluation of them as representatives of himself. We find this, though. We find that in all these seven churches, similar problems found in most all of these seven churches. There were some similar problems, just like there is today. There are similar problems. I don't care whether it's Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, whatever you may want to call it, we have similar problems. And a great deal of those similar problems is a lukewarmness. A lukewarmness. God says, I would you either cold or hot. I would that you either cold or hot. Get on or get off. Get in or get out. I would that you were cold or hot, but because you're lukewarm, you make me sick in my stomach. I vomit you up. I spit you out of my mouth. He said that to the church in his day. He said that to the church of Laodicea. You're lukewarm. You're neither cold nor hot. Oh, but we are moderate, Bob. We try to embrace all things and all people, and we try not to offend. Let me tell you something. The gospel's going to offend. The gospel is going to offend. If you live a godly, holy, separated life, you're going to offend some people. Preacher, you're going to offend in the church. Don't go to the pulpit afraid you're going to offend somebody. Go to the pulpit and just preach the word. Preach the word as God gives you the word, as God anoints the word. Preach the word and leave the results with God. Leave the results with God. Oh, my soul, how we need to understand this. Similar problems existed in all of the seven churches we're talking about. And those same problems that existed in those seven churches that we're talking about in the book of the Revelation can be found in numerous local churches of whatever denomination you want to name. They're there. Similar problems that we find in the original seven churches. Similar problems exist in the church today, and I would dare say in almost every church today. Every church has been birthed by the Lord Jesus Christ. These seven churches were birthed by him, but he's got to correct them. He's meeting with them. He's going to tell them what pleases him about them and what displeases him, and this is all about. And folks, the same thing is occurring today. The same things we find occurring in the churches of that day are occurring in the church and the churches of this day. It can be found. These problems can be found in various churches worldwide. In every nation of the world, you can find churches that host these same identical problems that we look at in the seven letters to the seven churches in the book of the Revelation. It's there in the nations of the world. Going further with Revelation chapter 1 verse 5. Well, let's go back up to verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Do not let that verse escape you. I'm going to read it to you again. Then I'm going to read it to you in another version. I'm not rushing through this. I want you to get this. Verse 5 of Revelation chapter 1. This letter. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. He was faithful to the Father. Regardless of the opposition he met. Regardless of the situation. Regardless of the circumstances. He was faithful to the Father. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. The firstborn from the dead, resurrected by his own power. Resurrected by his own power. Yes, they nailed him to a cross. Yes, they drove a spear into his side. He had a crown of thorns on his head. He had bled profusely. And they went by, they checking to see if he's dead. They run a spear in his side and blood and water came out. He's hanging on the cross. The firstborn from the dead. Others had died, yes, but he, the Son of God, he is the firstborn from the dead. He's the first one resurrected by his own power from the dead. You don't kill God. You may put him to death, but you can't leave him there. And that's what happened here. He's the firstborn from the dead. He came out of that tomb. And when he came out of that tomb, he had proven that he had ascendancy over everything out of hell. He had dominion over everything out of hell. He was victorious. And friend, do you understand? Do you understand if you are born again that this is the one who indwells you by his Spirit, who raised himself from the dead? He's the ruler over the kings of the earth. He rules over the nations of the earth. And guess what? He has turned for the moment. Listen to me carefully, child of God. Listen to me. I don't care what denomination you claim. If you're a child of God, purchased by the blood of Christ, born again, washed in his blood, adopted into his family, hear me. He's turned all of his work over to the church. He's turned all of his work over to the church, advancing the kingdom of God. Advancing the kingdom of God. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth. And you have access. You as a child of God have access to his throne. And he exercises authority over the kings of the earth, over the presidents, the emperors, whatever they may call themselves. He has authority and power over every situation and every circumstance and everyone in any position of authority in the nation of the world. He has supreme power and authority over them. Church needs to understand that. Instead of moaning and groaning about the signs of the times, instead of moaning and groaning about this is bad, this is no good, that's no good, why don't you get in your prayer closet? Go before the throne of God and say, Father God, I'm a believer priest. I'm a child of God. I'm your ambassador. And I'm coming before your throne on behalf of the kingdom of God in this nation. And Father God, we've embraced so much that is ungodly. We've embraced same-sex union. We've embraced abortion. We've embraced homosexuality. We've embraced transgenders. We've embraced everything that is ungodly and holy. And we need a move of your Holy Spirit purging and purifying this nation. Father God, bring it. Bring that move of your spirit. Loose your spirit. Loose your spirit in the nations of the world, starting with this one. Starting with this thing, burn out the dross in the church, Father God. Burn out the dross in the church. Burn out the dross in the pulpits. Burn out. Burn out the dross. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Nothing else will cleanse you. Holy water won't do it because there's no such thing. There's no such thing as holy water. For crying out loud, you may call it holy water. Well, as far as that goes, you can run water out of the faucet. Say, okay, this is holy water. Doesn't make it holy water. Praying for it doesn't make it holy water. Pouring incense on it doesn't make it holy water. No, no. He is the source of living water. Jesus is the source of living water. Religion and religious activities. Oh, Father God, deliver us. Deliver us from so much that is misleading. Deliver us from so much that has deceived so many multitudes. Oh, Father God, penetrate the darkness and the deception of religious organizations that have misrepresented the gospel. We go back to Romans 1:5 in another version. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who always loves us, and has once for all freed us, washed us from our sins by his own blood, his sacrificial death. Oh, child of God, understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Please understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Washed by the blood of Christ. Cleansed by the blood of Christ. Sins of the past forgiven. Do you understand that the sins of the past that you have confessed are forgiven, and you're going to sin again tomorrow? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. You're going to sin. The key is keep your sin list short. When you realize you have sinned, confess the sin. Retain your access to the throne of God. You don't want anything blocking your prayer life. Unconfessed sin blocks the prayer life. So go before the throne of God, confessed up. And present your petitions on behalf of yourself, your family, the church, the nation, the nations of the world. Romans 1:6. Go back to 1:5 again. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us. Are you getting this? Are you listening? Have you got listening ears? Revelation chapter 1, verse 6, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Don't let that escape you, people of God. You say, well, Bob, I'm kind of just a moderate Christian. There's no place in the kingdom of God for a moderate Christian. There's no place in the kingdom of God for a compromising Christian. We don't compromise. We stand firm, we stand strong without apology, without apology. We stand on the Word of God. We represent the creative power of this universe, and we are indwelt by the Spirit of the creative power of this universe, and we have been called sons of God, daughters of God. We are believer priests. We do have access to the throne of God. We represent God Almighty. In this sin-cursed, sin-darkened world. 1:6 again, Revelation 1:6, has made us God. God has made us, you, me, those of us who've been born again, cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, indwelt by the Spirit of God, and hath made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Oh, what Christ accomplished on the cross. What Christ accomplished on the cross. He made us to be a kingdom of priests. That's one way of saying kings and priests. He made us a kingdom of priests with access to the throne of God. Do you understand that? Do you understand as one born again, you have access to the throne of God? But Bob, you say, Bob, look, I don't have a this education, and I don't have that, and I don't have the other. Do you have Jesus? Are you born again? Then if you're born again, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit of God, and you're indwelt. If you've been born again, you're indwelt by the creative power of this universe. I keep saying that because so much of the church does not understand who they are in Christ Jesus. You've been adopted into the family of God. If you've been born again, I didn't say if you've been baptized or joined a religious organization. I said, if you have been born again into the kingdom of God, into the family of God. Recall this. Understand, do you recall the word of God to his people in Israel? In Exodus chapter 19 and verse 5. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice, God said. This is God speaking to the nation of Israel. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Then in Exodus chapter 19, verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. John, that's your message. That's your message. You see, the promise that he made to Israel now extends to the church, to those of us who've been born again. This promise is to God's people, starting with Israel. Starting with Israel at Israel, and now extends to the church. Because now, not everybody in Israel is in the church. But those of us in the church, and what is the church? The blood-washed body of Christ. We, those of us who have been born again, are in the body of Christ. We represent the body of Christ on earth today. He has made those born again a royal priesthood. What the Word of God says. That's what the Word of God says. I'm just teaching what the Word says. You've got to either believe it and receive it or reject it, one or the other. But he has made us a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let's back up everything we say with the Word of God, shall we? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. There it is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has given us, as believer priest, understand me carefully as I start wrapping this up. Those of us who have been born again, he has given us position in Christ. He's given us authority to use the name of Christ. And he's endued us with power. We have power. We can withstand Satan. We can withstand Satan and everything Satan brings against us. And we have been empowered and dwelt by and empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. We're indwelt, we're enabled, we're empowered by the Holy Spirit of God. Folks, get a hold of this truth. Get a hold of this truth. And when you walk away from this truth, walk away in victory. Walk away in power. Walk away knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and that you have access to the throne of God. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him, even so, amen. Now that day is still future. That day is still future, but its fulfillment is certain. It's going to happen. He is coming with the clouds. As I understand that, his coming will not be, his appearance will be instantaneous, but his coming will be progressive. That's my interpretation. You can buy it or reject it, whatever you want to do, but that's my interpretation. Prove me wrong. As best I can determine, it says he is coming, not he has come. He is coming with the clouds. That infers to me, that explains to me he's coming. His appearance is instant. But his coming is progressive. And then he says, then the Word of God says, and they who pierced him, the Jews, the Jewish nation, is going to see him coming. The Jews, that's the ones who pierced him, was the Jews. Now he was pierced for me and pierced for you, but it was the Jews who did it. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. When this is occurring, the dead in Christ, hear me carefully as I wrap this up now. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. Prove me wrong if you can. You can't do it. Those born again and still alive will be raptured at his coming. Those dead, those who had died in Christ Jesus, the dead in Christ Jesus, when Christ appears, and as Christ is coming, they will be resurrected from the dead. Those born again and still alive when he comes will be raptured as his coming, will be raptured at his coming and join him as he comes. I cannot find a pre-tribulational rapture in the Bible, nor can I find a mid-tribulational rapture. That's man's twist on things. I can't find it. I cannot find a pre-tribulational rapture in the Bible. I cannot find a mid-tribulational rapture in the Bible. I can find, if you will, a pre-wrath rapture in the Bible. Just before the wrath of God falls on the kingdom and the government of Antichrist and the nations of the world. Jesus, speaking to John on Patmos in Revelation 1:8, he said, "I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I am Alpha, the beginning of all things. I am Alpha of all things, the universe, as well as the ordered whole, the whole order of things. I am the creator of it." He initiated it. He created it. He spoke all of creation into existence. Spoke it into existence. Think of what that encompasses. Every expression of life, from the smallest insect to the largest animal that ever lived, he spoke it into existence. Spoke it. He saw it in his mind, saw it in his presence, and he just spoke it. "I am Alpha and Omega." Alpha, he's the beginning. Now you take that as far as it'll go. He's the beginning of anything and everything that is. There was just him. In all the universe, there was just him, the pre-existent God of the universe. And then from his mouth as he spoke it came creation with all of its life forms and creation. With all of its life forms and creation. Omega, the end. He will finish what he started. He's going to end up just the way he started, with a perfect universe, with a perfect humanity. A sinless, perfect universe inhabited by sinless humanity, being governed by resurrected, raptured saints under his authority. We're going to rule and reign with him. Revelation 22:3, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. His servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they will reign forever and ever and ever." That, folks, is a spiritual reality. This is going to occur. This is going to happen at the coming of Christ, which is yet future. Much is yet to occur before he returns. There's a lot that's got to happen before he comes. We will have a one world order, or government, if you will, that will become a reality before he returns. We will have a one world order. Antichrist in power and control will eventually be a reality. Christians persecuted, imprisoned, martyred, that will be occurring. And then Christ returns in power and glory. Between now and then, multitudes will die. Multitudes without Christ consigned to hell. Multitudes will die and be received into heaven and will return with Christ Jesus when he returns, and I intend to be in that bunch. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Father God, take the message, I pray. Bring conviction where conviction is needed. Bring illumination where illumination is needed. But Father God, in it all and through all, be thou glorified. Be honored and glorified in using this message to increase the kingdom of God, do damage to the kingdom of darkness, and we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. And for this we thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks again for joining us today here on Challenge. And do we get a chance to do this again? Be blessed.